Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Johnny Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindji Country. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob. Now, decision on Uncle Paul and Uncle Popeye's Australian climate case. Having filed their case against the Australian government in October 21 in fear of their homelands, Torres Strait Island traditional owners, Uncle Paul Cowboy and Uncle Pabai, will now hear the federal court's decision on the fate of their homes, communities and culture at risk from climate disaster. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Uncle Pabai. Have him on the line. Uncle Pabai, good morning. How are you?
Hey, yeah, good morning, brother. Yeah, I'm good, brother. Yeah.
I thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Uncle, can you let the mob know who your mob and where you're from, please?
Yeah, brother. I'm from Torres Strait, brother, up at the Top Western, Gudamalugal Nation. My community, my island is Boigu Island.
Boigu
is located on the western end of the Torres Strait. Near to the coastal line of international border of Papua New Guinea there, brother.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful country. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations in the fight the good fight. And you and Uncle Paul have been fighting there for your countrymen and protecting of your island. Now, we're talking about the decision on the landmark case will be handed down. Look, coming up to Tuesday, 15 July. How are you feeling? You excited? Are you happy with what you've done and regarding what you put on the table? Where are you at, Uncle Pabai?
Yeah, brother. It's been a long journey for us.
Yes.
Myself and Uncle Paul, we've been tackling this climate issue for our community and around the Janet case and all the Torres Strait Island out there, mob there.
Hmm.
You know, brother, it's good, like, us guys been on our journey for 4 years now.
Yes.
To tackling this climate change with the government. Brother, it's, you know, I feel that come to this stage, as we mentioned there, brother, like, on the 15th, we've got the final decision going to end it out on this case here, brother. You know, I'm looking forward for that because I'm just letting us know that last couple of weeks ago we've been going through the court system and we've been won the evidence statement and statement that we put it through to the government. We've won that, you know, brother. It's been on. When we win that, we've been coming to tears,
yeah,
brother.
That's exactly
that's the emotion that we feel for our community too, brother. It's not only that, my brother. It's it's like the homeland.
Homeland,
the
exactly.
Where we're from, yeah.
Well, you're talking about global climate. It is real, and you know, ice is melting. For example, the Earth is heating up, and we need to protect our islands because if we're not careful, 30 years down the track, our islands can become uninhabitable. Yes.
Yeah, my brother, we're now on this stage on 1.5 year now.
Mm.
You know, if you're gonna go up a bit higher than that, my brother, our community, our island will be go under the water.
Exactly.
Water, brother. This is what we're talking about. You know, we stand really firm on our land. We don't want to lose our land.
Exactly.
Because sometimes when we're looking at government can just do something like for us, we don't want to be a climate refugee as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And the government needs to act on this space. I mean, like I said, global climate is real, and they need to come to attention. So the decision is so very important. but the right decision needs to be made, Uncle Paboy.
Yes, brother, because we only see the climate change, but also we're connected through our victim of bushfires and all that flood victim around Queensland, around Australia. My brother, we're looking at that as well.
Yes.
So in that case, we're looking into how the cruelties, if you have bushfires, bushfire victim, you know, we're talking about those type of, you know,
disasters.
You know, that's very, very bad, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because we're talking about sea rising, that is a disaster. It's just like a fire on the mainland, on the big island of Australia. It's a disaster. And we need to have preventative decisions here that's going to support and look after people on country, yes?
Yes, my brother. This is why we're knocking on government doors really hard to support. Like, it's happening now, my brother, because in a couple of years' time back now, my brother, what will we do for our young generation?
Exactly.
For their livelihood.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, if we're going to be go underwater, my brother, we're looking now... We'll be losing our identities, you know.
Exactly. And then we start to think as black people, if this was white communities in the Torres Straits, the job would have been done. The decision would have been made years ago.
Yeah, brother, that's right.
Exactly
right, my brother, because they're not doing anything for Torres Strait and our people, brothers and sisters from the mainland.
Exactly.
You know, we're pushing hard and hard and hard, so hard.
Mm.
You know, they need to listen to us because we know our culture. We're telling them what to do because it's been happening.
Exactly.
This is why we've been pushing this. And the government don't reply on the statement that we put it through for the government.
Exactly.
This is why we're knocking on the government to make the decision now.
Yes. Uncle, look, thank you so very much. Congratulations in regard to your fight. Still waiting on the decision. Just around the corner, 15 July. Looking forward to the decision. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Thank you for communicating. Big shout out to Pomlide, we're Boygu Island. And look, you have a great day. And we'll yarn soon, my uncle.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Oh, yawo.
Yawo.
Beautiful yarn there. And that's Uncle Paboy Paboy, a proud traditional owner with their Boygu Island, and him and Uncle Paul were waiting on the decision in regard to an Australian climate case, and that should be coming out Tuesday, 15 July, just around the corner, and in regard to the protection of their land, their communities, and the cultural risk because of climate disaster. So, a very important conversation there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Value Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. National Talk Black, have your say, Nyan up strong, too deadly.
Keepers of their cultural ways. knowledge of the sea. Protectors of their tribal land. Island family.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindy Country, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, Tio Daly, going to catch up a yarn now with Benson Sallow. He's the Torch Program Chair, Executive Director. The Torch is a statewide Indigenous arts and prisons and community program. It's set within the context of the Victorian Aboriginal Justice Agreement, and its focus is on the role of cultural and culturally identity in the rehabilitative process of First Nation people impacted by incarceration. So the Torch employs Indigenous arts officers to deliver the program to Indigenous men and women in Victoria Prison and to support participants who are transitioning back into community. How deadly is this vehicle? So with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Benson. Benson Salu on the line. Benson, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very good morning. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Benson.
Yeah, so I'm connected down in Victoria to Wemba Wemba, Jadawa Jali, Wirragai and Gunditjmara Nation, so we're in Western Victoria.
Yes.
And then my father's from New Island Province in Papua New Guinea, but I actually grew up in Tabawarfang Gomeroi country.
All right, beautiful. And I will say from a brother from Cairns, North Queensland, all that is cold country.
I'll tell you what, it's very cold right now. Yeah, you're right.
And I'm yarning here. I'm yarning to you, Benson, with football shorts and singlet on, brother.
I'm wearing two layers of jacket.
Too deadly. Listen, thank you for coming to the program. Look, a fantastic program, the Torch Program. You're the chair of. So first of all, when did it start? Who came up with the concept? And what is the concept, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So it started back in 2011, but really this started way back in 1991 when there was the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody.
Yeah.
So one of our really staunch and strong leaders, Uncle Jim Berg,
yep.
He was a prisons officer, and he was actually going around and capturing the information around the deaths in custody that were happening right across Victorian prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of that, he thought, you know what, we need to be connecting our mob back to community and culture and a sense of identity, and also yep. providing a vehicle that actually enables them to change
sure.
their financial and economic futures.
Mm.
And out of that actually formed the Torch. And our very first employee as a community arts and Aboriginal programs coordinator was Kent Morris. And mm-hmm. Kent is currently our executive creative arts director, which is amazing, after many years, and he's about to go on long service leave, actually. But, you know, it was really formed out of this, you know, this pervasive issue of incarceration, mass incarceration of our people right across the country. Because, Trevor, as you know, we make up about 3% of the population.
Exactly.
But we're making up about 32% of the national adult prison population.
Yeah. Numbers are high.
Unfortunately, it's shocking.
It is, very much so. So we're talking about an art program for our prisoners, men and women, but also a positive outcome in regard to employment or creating an industry as such, or business entity, you could say.
100%. And this is, you know, we look at as art not only as the centrepiece, but it's also the vehicle for being able to connect people back to culture and community and also build that sense of identity. You know, when people are inside, we hear this often for over 300 people that we work with across Victorian prisons, is that their identity is, they're wrapped up as, you know, I'm incarcerated or I'm a prisoner. And when they come through our programs, their identity becomes, well, actually, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
You know, and exactly. And being able to connect that, being able to tell their stories and explore their own stories and their own journeys, but then there's nothing more thrilling and exciting for our participants than when they get that first sale.
Benson, we're talking about giving them a vision, looking up and, you know, looking at a future.
Oh, yeah, 100% right. And what that says is that, you know, I can do something, so that sense of achievement and accomplishment, but then also someone else saw value in me and my story.
Beautiful.
And I think there's probably a lot of us out there and probably a lot of your listeners that often don't feel that sense of being valued. And I think that's such an empowering thing to be able to provide someone is that sense of, you know, I see you.
Yes.
I'm walking with you and I value you.
That's beautiful and that's deep. Benson, we're talking about job opportunities as well. So we're talking about participants coming out of it, when they come out of jail, so to speak, they can walk right into a job with the Torch program. Is that the case?
So we've been able to, we actually employ about six Torch artists. So they've come through and come through prison and now actually working. They're part of our team.
Beautiful.
And working not only as cultural arts officers, but all different other parts of our business as well. So working in when people buy an artwork online, we've got some of our team that are packing the artwork and sending them all out. We're also exploring an opportunity to buy a business that will actually enable us to do all the art supplies and the stretching of art canvases.
Yes.
Which provides another pathway as well for other options. So that's something that we're looking at for the next few years with our launch of our new strategy.
Fantastic. Benson, when we look at the participants coming out of incarceration, doing their artwork, become like employees, you talk about the six artists as such, when their arts are sold, does the money go back to them?
That's right. So this took about 10 years of advocacy into the Victorian government.
Yes.
So in many states, including Victoria previously, if you're incarcerated, you couldn't earn an income. And so we're able to change that policy, to advocate to change that policy. So when an artwork is sold, 100% of that sale of that artwork goes back to the artist.
Yes.
And so when they leave prison, they'll get some in their commissary fund, but then it'll also be held in trust. So when they do leave, they actually have a financial foundation
exactly.
to be able to shift their,
fantastic.
You know, to find a place to rent, you know, to continue their art practices, you know, to connect back with family. You know, it's up to them, because that at its core is one, being valued, but then also having the means to be able to serve. Self-determined.
Exactly, Benson. It creates, they've seen the actual transaction of a product that they produced, then sold and cashed back in their pocket. There's the entrepreneur spirit. They
That's
are
right.
business people, happen to be black. Too deadly.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. And in fact, you touch on a really great point there, Trevor, because that's the next part that we're also looking at is,
yes.
You know, how do we support our artists? You know, the artists that come through the program to be able to build a business and to step into that space where they can earn a living.
Exactly.
Not just earn an income, but earn a living from producing art and telling their story. And, you know, we've still got a long way to go.
Yep, but, sure. But beginning's half done, and you've got a foundation here. You've got a vehicle that's rolling. And look, it could only get better.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going strength from strength. And, you know, we've had an interest from other states to expand the torch. You know, we're doing something quite unique in Australia, but here in Victoria, and I think there is such a want and a need for us to be able to look.
Well, Benson, you've got a program in place there. This should be templated across the country. All states and territories should have this in place.
Yep.
If you look at it, success, yeah.
Oh, 100%. The success speaks for itself.
That's right.
One of the challenges is each justice system or legal system is unique to each state. So
sure.
For our artists to earn that income, we would also need to then change the policies and legislation in other states as well, which is something we're willing and happy to work with other organisations to do.
Exactly.
And this is actually what's going to change a lot of our people's futures.
Too Daily, my brother. How do people witness the Torch program? Have you got a web page or such?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check it out at www.thetorch.org.au. And you'll see on our front cover of the website is our most recent exhibition. It's a month-long exhibition. We had over 350 artists, and it was in the one of the town halls here in Melbourne for a month. And I recommend everyone check them out. And you'll see that people think, oh, they're inside. You know, the art won't be that. We have world-class artists.
Yes.
That are here. Our people are so talented and got such vision and passion, and the world needs to see it.
They need to see it. And Benson, when you talk about our artists, when you talk about our people, we are storytellers. And these beautiful artists coming from incarceration are virtually just telling their story.
Yep.
Powerful.
100%.
Yeah.
That's it.
Benson, thank you for sharing. All the best to you. So all the W's, thetorch.org.au?
Correct.
Fantastic. All you Deadly Mob up there, check it out. Fantastic. Let's support these artists, support this program. Should be templated across the country. Benson, thank you, my friend. You take care, brother, and all the best to you. Stay warm.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, well, stay cool.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there, and his name is Benson Salu. He's the Torch Program Chair, Executive Director. Do check it out, all W's, .thetorch, one word, .org.au, and check out the Torch's Statewide Indigenous Arts in Prisons and Community Program. And it's fantastic, and creating waves and creating positive outcomes in regard to coming out of prison straight into a JOB as an artist, or is not walking into a business as such, a business entity, and become entrepreneurs. Fantastic. This should be templated across the country. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. A big shout-out to the NERS team. Thank you very much for allowing this program to go across the airways. And a big shout-out to First Nation Radio Station across this beautiful country of ours, a Deadly Black Network, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
Years we lived in peace, a land of man was free to wander. 50,000 years in the spirit of dream time, the white man came and called it down under.
White man came and called it down under.
200 years ago the white fella found a land he thought that no one owned. Spears can't fight, guns and dynamite, the white man came and called it down under.
White man came and called it down under.
Something we can't understand. Well, black and white have got to unite, or there'll be nothing left in the land down under.
Nothing left in the land down under.
you, you learn from me. We can't afford another blunder. Together we can live in harmony. Brothers and sisters in the land down under.
Brothers and sisters in the land down under.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all in, practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community, you define your greatness. Find supportive teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland. Make great happen. RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it, be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Brothers,
RK,
RK, brothers.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I
remember the day. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number yarn. It's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, with over a decade in operation, Mara Law and Advisory is one of Australia's leading 100% First Nations-owned and managed national law firms supporting clients across the nation. And look, we're going to catch up yarn with Mabel Parker, Mara Law and Advisory Paralegal. And we do have her on the line. And a very good morning to Mabel. How are you, Mabel?
Hey, Trev. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based? Where are you at?
I'm currently based down in Nipaluna. I'm down at the Marawa office here. I'm from WA though, so
okay.
I came over a couple of years ago to do uni over here.
Oh, so it's been
really interesting.
Yeah, good. So how long have you been with Marawa Law? Advisory, paralegal?
At this point, I think it's been like a year and a half
good.
That I've been here. I lined up with Leah when
yes.
I first did placement over this way with like an Aurora internship, and she's gladly taken me under her wing since then, which has been really nice.
Well, congratulations. Big shout out to Leah Cameron, doing a fantastic job. And Mara Law are going from, hitting the skies. I mean, they're becoming like a franchise. Do you want fries with that? They're everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah. No, I think you're the local legend around here, Trevor.
There you go. All right, like that. Look, nice to yarn with you. Now, we're talking about the importance of access to justice, and you've got an up-and-coming trip, NRIP, which is in Switzerland. That sounds good. Look, I've been working out, sister. If you want someone to carry your bags, fantastic. Can you tell us what NRIP is, the acronym first, and what's that trip about in Switzerland, please?
Of course, yeah. So NRIP is the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous peoples, and that falls under the United Nations Human
yes.
Rights Council, which is really, really cool. It's such a huge thing to be a part of. Definitely, I feel like once in a lifetime. So, get to go over there with the uni and
good.
Just address some of the issues that our mob are having, whether it's in Nipaluna here in Tasmania or back home in Kununurra in the Kimberleys.
Mm.
It's something that I feel like super passionate about and I think is not really spoken about enough, especially in the legal system.
Yes.
I think a lot of people think like once you're in the legal system, everything's smooth sailing from there. But I suppose that's kind of where it just gets started.
Exactly.
There's so many different like challenges and things that mob have to really like face and come up against in the system, firstly being so overrepresented, but not really understanding the system itself or what law can look like, what it can do for them, how it can support them, how sometimes it's not always the most supportive thing either. So for me, a huge passion of mine is trying to just get mob a little bit more informed
yes.
in ways that we can, like, have a relationship with the law and the way that it can be something really good. So going over to Switzerland is just a chance, I think, to sort of address that on an international scale because it's likely not something that we face independently here in Australia. I think a lot of other countries have Indigenous peoples that struggle to access the law and have the same problems. So,
yes.
it's just something that I'm really looking forward to, but
good.
It's a little high stress, high pressure. So hopefully I don't get too shame going over there.
No, don't be shame. Be strong, sister, and represent us in so many ways. And when we look, hats off to United Nations, and when we talk about the rights of Indigenous people, like I said, it's a worldwide, global movement. But First Nation people across the globe are in that position when we talk about white privilege or white power, non-Indigenous power in that sense. If you're black, stay back. I mean, here we are, 21st century, and it still sits at the table. and we need to stamp it out. We need a right to go forward. And look, we need to get it together. And it's fantastic that a world movement and world meetings like so are very, very important. And it's great to see First Nation from the Big Island, the first people being represented at that table. Can you tell us, please, Mabel, about the access to justice?
Yeah, so for me, what I've sort of seen and what I've learned in my journey through law so far is just access to justice is like this principle, I suppose, or this belief that in Australia, everyone should have access to legal representation. Yeah. They should be able to be supported. They should understand their rights, like regardless of what their circumstances are, regardless of where they're from, what their background are, or like how much money they have. And I think it doesn't take a genius to know that that necessarily is not the case for a lot of people, and especially remote, like blackfellas that are out on the islands or out in community or on the missions. Like, access to justice is, I think, a nice principle, and like lawyers like to address it as something that exists, and I don't necessarily think that's the case. So I think it's important that we're honest about that and that we speak about it and the impact that it has on our people. It's something that it's like a theory, and I suppose it sounds really far-fetched, but it's not. Like, access to justice can look like people in Clumberoo that don't have IDs because they don't have birth certificates, or it can be like domestic violence survivors look like that don't know where to turn to because they don't have the support. It can be people getting fines from Centrelink because they like don't know how to like lodge an appeal. Like, these are really real problems that we face all the time, and it's something that I think the legal system probably needs to be a little bit more aware about. We often hear about all the big crimes or the big matters or the big like legal cases that go to court and stuff, but I think access to justice highlights the smaller, sometimes more pressuring, like it's a lot more pertinent in society. Like, these are the small problems that people don't really talk about, but it has such
And they escalate, don't they, Mabel?
They really do, and it doesn't take much. Like, you miss one bail payment, then it's lockup. Like, it's a really slippery slope. So I think access to justice is like addressing the legal knowledge to get people support as soon as they want it, and like helping them know where to find it.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's I suppose the idea of it, and that's something that being from the Kimberley, you see it all the time. Like, no one has any idea where to get support.
And there we have the highest incarceration of our people. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're talking sometimes minor cases, but it still gives you incarceration time, and hence and then that like you said escalates and coming out of incarceration, it may lead on to other things, and then naive or the uneducation of the legality, there lies the problem. So talk about closing gaps. This gap needs
exactly,
to be closed.
Exactly. And I think it's like, when we're so overrepresented and constantly in some sort of legal predicament, whether it's us or our family or our community, when we're constantly being bombarded with like this legal world, when we don't know what it is or how to speak the legal language or how to engage with lawyers or police, that it has such real effects on our community. So that's probably the area that I like focusing on the most, because I think it has such a snowball effect, and that's something that I would like to see mitigated in the future in some way.
Yeah, no, beautiful. So, look, we're having here a yarn about access to justice. So the conversation is front and centre. here on the national program on Murray Radio, you know. So there's a start, beginning is half done, but we have to keep the conversations up, you know. But to our people out there, well, any time, approach a lawyer, especially a black lawyer, so you can be educated in the space, you know. And even if you don't need a lawyer, but it's good to have the knowledge is power, but knowledge is potential power. You still need to act on the knowledge that you got, don't you, Mabel?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that I found the most surprising going into law is, like, lawyers are very confident people. Like, they like yarning and they like, they really like sharing the knowledge that they have.
Exactly.
So even though, like, you get a little bit shamed, a little bit frightened, for the most part, they want to have conversations.
Sure.
And I think, like, blackfellas have such a lived experience that you can't teach and you can't really, you won't understand unless you've been through it. So
exactly.
I think what I found as well is, like, people want to hear about Indigenous experiences, and that's something that is really powerful. So I think when you're going into situations with lawyers, sometimes it's easy to be intimidated, but sometimes they're just as intimidated as well.
Like, yeah, two-way street, exactly, yeah. But you can't beat black on black, you know.
Power in that situation too.
Exactly. As I said, you can't beat black on black when you've got our mob talking to, a black lawyer in your situation. It just makes a smoother engagement, you could say.
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple of little knickknacks that if you're not mob, you're not really going to understand, and that's probably a good thing.
A good thing, exactly. Hey, listen, thank you for the yarn. Congratulations. Enjoy your trip to Switzerland. And when's that happening, Mabel?
Next week. I head off on Wednesday, so I'm there from the 9th to the 19th for Emirates.
All right, fantastic. Emirates. So, look, cold at that time over there?
Brother, it's summer there.
Thank you.
It's going to be heaven.
Thank you.
The complete opposite of
all right, there you go. So you're going there to thaw out, aren't you?
Yeah, literally. It's going to be like Queensland humidity over there. I'm going to take it.
Enjoy the journey. Look, big shout out to the Marawa Law team, Leah Cameron. Beautiful work she does and look fantastic. Thank you for your yarn, Mabel Parker. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon, sister.
You too, Trevor. You have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Go on then. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Mabel Parker, Murra Law Advisory Paralegal, and talking about and the importance of access to justice, having that yarn for our mob to talk to, especially our black lawyers, to get the information and the knowledge about situations you're in, or just for the knowledge. Fantastic. May empower you to become a lawyer. Never know. And also her trip, upcoming trip to Switzerland for NREP. And that's the rights of Indigenous people through United Nations, which is a fantastic spot, space for our mob to be protected across the country. Have your saying, Yana Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your deadly program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindi Country, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Liberty Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black?
We're women, we fight for freedom. We're strong, we fight for peace. We struggle every day to prove our worth. We're women and we're proud to say what we are in ourselves. We've been hiding in the background far too long.
With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. When she's with me, yeah. With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. She believes in me.
They say united we stand,
together we stand,
divided we fall. They don't understand what we are fighting for at all. We have the strength to overcome whatever
we're
comes our way. Stand up and be guided. Say what you have to say. The sister's beside you.
With my sister beside me, I am strong, I am free. She believes in me.
Changes of that you can be sure. The time has come.
for you to come out from behind that door. Open your mind.
With my sister beside
I
me,
am strong.
I am strong.
I am free.
With my sister
free.
Beside me, I am strong. I am free. With my sister beside me, I am strong. I am free. With my sister beside me.
Hey, which way are you, mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba napi bamada. Yendaba kat yendaba bamada. Yendaba gadan. Yendaba listen.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolls by, breezes blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Where the wild, wild, one-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I. too. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Where the wild, wild, one-eyed tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Way? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I. too. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I.